I will say what I generally do about now, which is turn with me, if you will, to the place where this week's Torah portion begins. It's a brand new book, and it's the final book of the five of the books of Moshe, and this one is probably more Moshe to that extent, because this is the book of Deuteronomy, or in the Hebrew, Devarim. And the reason, of course, it's called Devarim is because these are the words. That's how the parsha begins in chapter 1. And these are ha-Devarim, is literally what it says, the words which Moshe spoke unto Kol Israel, all Israel, beyond the Jordan, in the wilderness, Bamidbar, in the Arabah, over against Suf, between Paran and Tophel, and Laban and Hazeroth and Dizahab. And let's pause there. The plains of Moab, clearly where we are, the sages, and I'm particularly thinking of Rashi. Rashi has a long comment on Deuteronomy 1:1. He says essentially that some of these places are not real places in Scripture, as far as the sages can tell, and that what they are, therefore, is references, and that they're references that Moshe was invoking, if you will, kind of allegorically, to describe some of the places where the people did various bad things, as a reminder. So whether that's true or not, I can't say, but it does seem that he makes a good point with regard to some of these place names. However, understand a couple things right up front before we get into the meat of the book here. One, Devarim is probably the book that most people will literally most associate with the law. It is the words which Moshe spoke. When I was a kid, I was told, and that doesn't mean anything, of course, because I was told a lot of bad and wrong stuff. But anyway, that the book of Deuteronomy was the second repeat, the second saying of the law. And, okay, there's that. One thing for sure is true, and that is that it is the most quoted book during the time of the Constitutional, the Founding Fathers era, the Committees of Correspondence. They were doing lots of discussion among themselves in various letters that, of course, recorded for posterity. And Deuteronomy was the foundation for the British common law, the English common law. And as a result, it was very, very, very frequently quoted. More so, and the Bible, of course, was the most quoted big book, but even among the books of the Bible and all the other books that were referenced, Deuteronomy is number one as far as being quoted. And so that means there's a whole lot of importance in here. Finally, let's remember one other thing as we go through it, and it starts by telling us this. These are the words that Moshe spoke. And literally what Deuteronomy or Devarim is a it's Moshe's final speech. It's his farewell address to Israel is one way to think of it. And it begins like this in verse 2. It is 11 days' journey, he said, from Horeb unto Kadesh Barnea by the way of Mount Seir. Say what? Now think about that. 11 days. That's how long it would take people to walk from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea by the way of Mount Seir. But that's not how they went. That's not how long it took them. As you remember, it took 40 years. So obviously, there's an issue, and there's an important point here. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of that month, that Moshe spoke unto the B'nai Israel, according to all that Yahuwah had given him in commandment unto them. After he had smitten Sihon, the king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, that big guy, right, the king of Bashan, who dwelt in Ashtaroth at Edrei, beyond the Jordan in the land of Moab, Moshe took upon himself to expound this HaTorah, literally, this instruction. And I, as you know, I'm kind of a stickler for this. Yes, usually English translates Torah as law. And I contend that's a middling, at best, kind of pitiful translation of the word. It's better rendered as instruction. And you'll see why, because that's really what Moshe is doing here, right? This is instruction. There is there are statutes and judgments and commandments in here. We're going to see a repetition in this book of the Ten Commandments, but there's more. And as you know, when Yeshua taught, he taught with parables, which are not law, they're not commandments. They are, in fact, instruction, though, regardless. So that's, I think, a reason for understanding this distinction. And Deuteronomy and, indeed, the whole Torah will sit a lot better. People will have a lot more understanding if we understand up front that it is, in fact, instruction, a lot more than merely law, a lot more than just statutes and judgments and commandments. Okay, back to Moshe. The Yahuwah our El, and yes, Anybody that's new knows that by now, or if you don't, I'll tell you, whenever you see the word capital L-O-R-D in most English Bibles, means somebody has taken it upon themselves to get rid of what was actually there in the Hebrew, replace it with a fake. And his real name is the Tetragrammaton. It's Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey in the Hebrew. Y-H-V-H is the closest English rendering of it. But it's not the Lord. And that's an affectation, if you will, based on a Jewish tradition explicitly. It's not one that Yeshua liked because he would use the real name, obviously. And it's one that I will contend that we need to get back away from. Because his name is not the Lord. In so many places in the Bible, he says, and they will know then that my name is, no, not the Lord, my name is Yod Heh Vav Heh. And if we're in fact approaching the end times, it's more important than ever that we know that there is one name by which we should be saved, Yod Heh Vav Heh. And his salvation is Yah who saves, literally Yahushua. Okay, so, Yahuwah our El, said Moshe, spoke unto us in Horeb, and he said, you dwelt long enough in the mountain. Turn around and take your journey. Go to the hill country of the Amorites and to all the places nigh thereunto, in the Arabah, in the hill country, and in the lowlands and in the south and by the seashore. The land of the Canaanites and Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, he said, I have given. Now, the English that I'm looking at says, I have set the land before you. But literally, what's interesting is, this is a done deal. In the original language, this is past tense. I have given the land before you. Go in, possess it. So it's already yours. All you got to do is go get it. Which Yahuwah swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. And I spoke to you at that point. I said, I'm not able to bear you myself alone. So what is going to happen here is we're going to get Moshe retelling the story. And he tells it a bit differently. I guess the key is not so much that it's his father-in-law Yitro that pointed this out to him, but that he did it. Anyway, he says, that Yahuwah your El has multiplied you. Behold, this day you're like the stars of the heaven for multitude. Yahuwah, the Elohim of your fathers, make you 1,000 times many more than you are, and bless you as he promised you. So how can I myself alone bear your cumbrance, your burden, your strife? So get you, each one of you, of your tribes, wise men, full of understanding and full of knowledge, and I'll make them heads over you. So this is the delegation of authority part. And y'all answered me, and you said, hey, that thing which you've spoken is sounds like a good thing for us to do. So, he says, I took the heads of your tribes, wise men, full of knowledge. I made them heads of over you, captains of thousands, captains of hundreds, captains of fifties, and captains of ten, and officers, tribe by tribe. And at the time I charged you, your judges, and I said, here are the causes between your brethren, and judge righteously between a man and his brother, and a stranger that is with him. You shall not respect persons in judgment. You shall hear the small and the great alike. You shall not be afraid of the face of any man. I guess, people that are above the law today. No, this is about as different from what we've got today as it can get, folks. You shall not be afraid of the face of any man, for the judgment is Elohim's. And the cause is too hard for you, well, you bring it unto me, and I'll hear it. And I commanded you at that time all the things which you should do. And we journeyed from Horeb, and we went through all the great and dreadful wilderness which you saw by the way of the hill country of the Amorites, as Yahuwah our El had commanded us. And we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said to you, you have come into the hill country of the Amorites, which Yahuwah our El has given unto us. Behold, Yahuwah your El has set the land before you. So go up, take possession, as Yahuwah, the Elohim of your fathers, has spoken unto you. Fear not, do not be dismayed. So that word there, kazak. And you came near to me, every one of you. And of course, he's describing something which would have been the royal y'all. But in fact, a lot of the people that he's referring to here, they were too young at the time. Some of them weren't even born yet. This was their fathers whose carcasses fell in the wilderness. Anyway, and you all said, let us send men before us, that they may spy out the land for us, and bring us word by way which we must go up, and the cities unto which we shall come. And the thing pleased me well, so I took 12 men of you, one from every tribe, and they turned and went up in the mountains. They came to the valley of Eshcol, clusters, and they spied it out. They took of the fruit of the land in their hands, they brought it back down to us. They brought back word, and they said, hey, this is good land, which Yahuwah our El is giving unto us. But still, you would not go up. But you rebelled against the commandment of Yahuwah your El. You murmured in your tents, and you said, because Yahuwah hated us, he brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of Amorites and destroy us. And why are we going to go up? Our brethren have made our hearts to melt, saying, these are big dudes. These people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great. They're fortified up to the heavens. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there. So I said to you, says Moshe, do not dread them nor be afraid of them. Yahuwah your El, who goes before you, he will fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. So think about it. He's just reminding them, saying, look, you guys have seen the miracles he can do. What are you bothering us to sweat about here? In the wilderness, Bamidbar, were you seen how Yahuwah your El bore you? The man bears his son all the way that you went till you came to this place. Yet in this thing, you do not, present tense, you do not believe Yahuwah your El, who went before you in the way to seek for you a place to pitch your tents, and a fire by night to show you by what way you should go, and in a cloud by day. And Yahuwah heard the voice of all your words, and he was pretty well PO'd. And he swore, saying, and here he's quoting, and remember this, surely not one of these men, this evil generation, will see the good land which I swore to give unto your fathers. They blew it. Exceptions. Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it. To him I'll give the land that he's trodden upon, and to his children. Remember, he was one of the 12 spies, the only two, he and Joshua, that did not vote to disobey Yah. So he gets it along with his children because he has wholly followed Yahuwah. Moshe continues. He says, Yahuwah was angry with me for your sake, saying, you also shall not go in there. Joshua, son of Nun, who stands before you, he will go in there. Encourage him, because he shall cause Israel to inherit it. So he is the one that's going to be the leader at this point forward. Moreover, your little ones, the ones you said would be a prey, your children, this day they have no knowledge of good or evil. They'll go in there, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. Now, at this point, of course, when Moshe is speaking, a lot of those children have grown up, and they're the ones that are hearing this. But as for you, turn you, take your journey into the wilderness by way of the Sea of Reeds. Then you answered, and you said unto me, uh-oh, well, okay, we get it now. And I was paraphrasing there, as you know. We have sinned against Yahuwah. We'll go up and we'll fight now. Now that it's too late. Yeah, let's just try it now. According to all that Yahuwah our El has commanded us. And that's not exactly what he commanded, remember? Every man girded on his weapons of war. They deemed it kind of an easy thing. Let's just go up in the hill country and kick some butt. And Yahuwah said to me, say to them, don't go. Don't fight, because I am not among you, lest you be smitten before your enemies. So, as I spoke to you, you didn't listen. You hearkened not. You failed to shamar. But you rebelled against the commandment of Yahuwah. You were presumptuous. You went up into the hill country, and you got your heads handed to you. Well, he puts it this way. And the Amorites that dwell in the hill country, they came out against you. They chased you like bees, and they beat you down in Seir, even unto Hormah. And you returned, and you wept before Yahuwah. But Yahuwah didn't listen. He did not hearken to your voice, nor give ear to you. So you abode in Kadesh for a long time, many days, according unto the days that you abode there. The next chapter, chapter 2, says, okay, now then we turned. We took our journey into the wilderness by way of the Sea of Reeds, and the Red Sea is how some translations render it. As Yahuwah spoke unto me, we compassed Mount Seir. So we stayed in the vicinity of Mount Seir for a long time. Yahuwah spoke to me, and he said, you have compassed this mountain long enough. So turn back north. And you, Moshe, command the people, saying, you're to pass through the border of your children, of your brethren, rather, the children of Esau. Children of Esau. Okay, so most of these are going to be the descendants of Jacob, but your brothers are, you know, great-great-great-great-uncle Esau that dwell in Seir. They'll be afraid of you, so take heed to yourselves, therefore. Don't fight with them. Don't contend with them, because I am not going to give you their land. That's their land, not yours. No, not so much as the sole of your foot to tread on, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. You can purchase, and you will. You'll purchase food from them for kasef. Remember, here's that word again, money, silver, same thing. You'll purchase the food for silver so you can eat. Oh, and you'll purchase water from them also for silver that you might drink. For Yahuwah your El has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He has known you're walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years that Yahuwah has been with you, you didn't lack anything. So, This is Moshe continuing. We passed by from our brethren, the children of Esau, that dwell in Seir, all the way from Arabah, from Elat, from Etzion Geber, and we turned and we passed by the way of the wilderness of Moab. And Yahuwah said to me, do not be at enmity with Moab either, nor contend with him in battle. I'm not going to give you his land for a possession, because I have given Ar unto the children of Lot for a possession. So remember, Moab are the children of Lot by his two daughters, the descendants there. The Emim dwelt therein for a while. Now the Emim, and we're going to hear some names at this point of some big people, descendants of the half-breeds, if you will, the descendants of the Rephaim. The Emim dwelt there, a people great, many, and tall, like the Anakim. These also are called or counted as Rephaim, just like the Anakim. But the Moabites, they called them Emim. And in Seir dwelt the Horites before. But the children of Esau succeeded them, and they destroyed them from before them and dwelt in their land in their place, just as Israel did unto the land of his possession, which Yahuwah gave unto them. Now, rise up, get yourself over the brook Zered. So we did. We went over the brook Zered. And in the days in which we came from Kadesh Barnea until we were over that brook, there were 38 years until all of that generation, especially the men of war, in other words, meaning those over the age of 20, all of them had died. They were consumed from the midst of the camp, just as Yahuwah swore would happen to them. So moreover, the hand of Yahuwah was against them to discomfit them from the midst of the camp until ultimately they were all consumed. So it came to pass, when all the men of war were consumed and dead from among the people, i.e. dead from among you all, then Yahuwah spoke to me, and he said, this day you are to pass over the border of Moab, even Ar. And when you come nigh over against the children of Ammon, do not harass them, do not contend with them, because I am not going to give you the land of the children of Ammon for a possession. That, in fact, and he is repeating this here, that is, in fact, the children of Lot's. It's their possession. And it's also accounted a land of Rephaim. Rephaim dwelt here before time, but the Ammonites, they have a different name. They call them the Zamzumim, a people great and many, tall, big, like the Anakim. But Yahuwah destroyed them from before them, and they succeeded them, and they dwelt in the land in their place. And as he did for the children of Esau that dwell in Seir, when he destroyed the Horites from before them and succeeded them, and they dwelt in their stead, even unto this day. And the Avim that dwelt in the villages as far as Gaza, the Kaphtorim that came forth out of Kaphtor, destroyed them, and they dwelt in their place. So we're seeing a kind of a continued story. The big descendants of the giants being wiped out with these others replacing them. So rise up, take your journey, pass over the valley of Arnon. Behold, I have given into your hand Sihon, the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it, contend with him in battle. And this day, he says, I will begin to put the fear, the dread of you, and the fear of you upon the peoples under the entire of Hashemayim, the whole heaven, who, when they hear the stories about you, they will quake in their boots. They will tremble. They'll be in anguish because of you. So I sent messengers out of the wilderness of Kedemot unto Sihon, king of Heshbon, with words of peace. I said, hey, let me pass through the land. I'll go by the highway. I'll turn neither to the right nor to the left. You can sell me some food for silver so that I can eat, and you can give me water for silver so we can drink. Just let me pass through on my feet. But no, right? We know the story. He's going to repeat it. As the children of Esau that dwell in Seir and the Moabites that dwell in Ar did unto me, till I shall pass over the Jordan unto the land which Yahuwah our El gives us. But Sihon, king of Heshbon, he wouldn't let us pass. For Yahuwah your El hardened his spirit. Now this is an additional bit of insight. We knew that this was the case, but we didn't get this understanding that it was his ruach that was made hard. Similar, but it was the heart of Pharaoh. But in this case, it was the spirit of Sihon, the late Sihon, as it turns out. Now he made his heart obstinate too, that he might deliver him into your hand, as appears this day. So Yahuwah said to me, behold, I have begun to deliver up Sihon and his land. You are to begin to possess his land. So, yep, Sihon came out against us, he and all his people, into battle at Yahaz, and Yahuwah our El delivered him up before us. We smote him and his sons and all of his people. We utterly took all of his cities at that time, destroyed every city, the men, the women, and the little ones. We didn't leave one remaining. We took only the cattle as a prey, as a prize for ourselves, and the spoil of the cities which we had taken. from Aurora, which is on the edge of the Valley of Arnon, from that city in the valley, even unto Gilead, there was not a city that was too high for us. In other words, a walled city that was too strong. For Yahuwah our El delivered up all of them before us. Only to the land of the children of Ammon you did not come near. All the side of the river Yabbok and the cities of the hill country and wheresoever Yahuwah our El forbade us. So we took the places we were supposed to take. We left those alone we were supposed to leave alone. Chapter 3 says, well, then we turned. And here's another story we know, and he's repeating it. Remember Og, king of Bashan. He came out against us, he and all his people, to battle at Edrei. And Yahuwah said to me, fear him not, for I have delivered him and all of his people into your hand, along with his land. You will do unto him just like you did Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt at Heshbon. So Yahuwah our El delivered into our hand Og, the king of Bashan, also, along with all of his people. We smote him until no one was left remaining unto him. We took all of his cities at that time. There was not a city which we didn't take. 60 cities in all the region of Argob, the kingdom of Og and Bashan. All of these were fortified cities. There were walled cities, high walls, gates, bars. Beside the unwalled towns, there were a whole lot of them. We utterly destroyed them, just as we did Sihon, king of Heshbon. We destroyed every city utterly, the men, the women, and the little ones. But all the cattle, the spoil of the cities, we took for a prey, a prize, the prize of battle unto ourselves. We took the land at that time out of the hand of those two kings of the Amorites that were beyond the Jordan, from the valley of Arnon to Mount Hermon, which Hermon the Sidonians call Sirion, and the Amorites call it Senir. All the cities of the plain, and all Gilead and Bashan, unto Salca and Edrei, cities of the kingdom of Og and Bashan. And ultimately, he says, only Og remained, king of Bashan, of the remnant of the Rephaim. So the Rephaim are being wiped out. Behold, remember his bedstead? It was made out of iron. Is it not Rabbah of the children of Ammon? In other words, it's still around. It was 9 cubits long, for crying out loud. So 9 cubits, that's 13.5 feet. And it was 4 cubits wide, 6 feet wide, for one man. Now, that wouldn't be such a big deal for a king-size bed nowadays, but the length is something else after the cubit of a man. This land we took in possession at that time from Aror, which is by the valley of Arnon, and the half the hill country of Gilead and the cities. Them, remember, we just talked about this recently, I gave to the Reubenites and to the Gadites. The rest of Gilead, all of Bashan, kingdom of Og, I gave to the half-tribe of Manasseh, the region of Argob. All of Bashan, that's called the land of the Rephaim. Yair, the son of Manasseh, took the region of Argob under the border of the Geshurites and the Maakathites, and he called them even Bashan after his own name. So he renamed the places, calling it Havot Yair unto this day. I gave Gilead unto Machir, and unto the Reubenites and the Gadites I gave from Gilead to the valley of the Arnon and the middle of the valley for a border, all the way to the river Yabbok, the border of the children of Ammon. So that river divides from the place that we've already said they're not going to have. The Arabah too, the Jordan is the border there, from the Chinneret even unto the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, and the slopes of Pisgah to the east. And I commanded you at that time, and I said, Yahuwah your El has given you this land to possess it. You shall pass over armed before all of your brethren, the children of Israel, all the men of valor. So he is now recounting for us, again, the last thing we've just talked about, the deal that was struck. You can have this great cattle land as long as you will go first into battle. You're going to not welch out. You're going to continue to do what you've promised to do till every man of Israel has his inheritance. You're going to do that. And they said, yeah, we will. And as part of the deal, your wives, your little ones, your cattle, oh yeah, he says, I know you got a lot of cattle. They will abide in your cities, which I've given you, until Yahuwah gives rest unto your brethren, like he did you. And until they also possess the land which Yahuwah El is giving them on the other side of the Jordan. Then every man will be able to return unto his possession, which I have given you. And I commanded Joshua at that time, and I said, your eyes have seen all that Yahuwah El has done to those two kings, to Sihon and Og. So shall Yahuwah do unto all the kingdoms that you are going to go over. So you've already seen it. You got no reason to fear not. Joshua is told over and over again, fear not, kazak, be strong and of good courage. And this is the final commandment that is being issued to Joshua as he proceeds to lead the people here as we wrap up the first of the Torah portions in Deborim. Of course, it's called Deborim for that reason. And it ends this way. You shall not fear them, for Yahuwah your El, he is the one that fights for you. And that's a great way to wrap up the introduction to the final book in the Torah.